my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. One of the most important rules in reading or hearing the words of the Bible are to always attempt to translate them into real life images and to questions. And one thing I'm just allergic to, but am not able to fulfill my own prescription a lot of the time, is to try not to speak to you in abstract or abstruse or purely mental categories, because it's so easy dealing with these big, big ideas in the Bible to use wild abstractions. You know, 1922, Bultmann had a seminar at the University of Marburg. It was actually a famous time, and Ernst Haseman, who became equally famous as Bultmann, was a student in his class. And Bultmann proceeded to say that any ideas of God and atonement were purely abstractions, but the idea of mankind was concrete. And bumptious Haseman, who was only 22, said, "No, Professor Bultmann, the atonement is concrete. It is mankind that is an abstraction." Now, that is there's a lot to be said about that particular 922 encounter. But what we want to do in life is not to talk in abstractions, which basically just roll over your head or roll by you as if nothing has been said. And so when we come to the verse about which I would like to speak this morning, the 20th verse of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, I'm at great pains to try to make this real, because for the man that wrote it, St. Paul, it was enormously pertinent. It was enormously concrete and powerful, and so it is for me. But I want to try to bring that to you as best I can. The 20th verse of 2 Corinthians 5. And herein the Apostle Paul writes, "We are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We beseech you, on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God." He talks about ambassadors, of which he believes he is one. He then makes an appeal, and then he gives you what the appeal is: be reconciled to God. Well, let's think about that. An ambassador is a person who is entirely in the employ of somebody else, right? An ambassador is someone who is entirely representing something or someone other than himself. He is the messenger. The message is the United States government, or United Kingdom, or Botswana. That is the message. And the ambassador has to be very well aware that it has nothing to do with him or her. It's the thing that he represents. That is all that is important. Like me and some other people who would be up here in the pulpit, our persons are very unimportant. We will be forgotten in two generations, three max. And our message, the truth, and a sad truth it is. No, and we are ambassadors. That is to say, we are here because we hope, at least, we believe we've been given something to say that is more important than our own particular thing. Let me give you an example. I'm very interested in a motion picture director whose name was Jack Arnold. Jack Arnold died in the early 90s, and he made many movies, but his great, great masterpiece is called The Incredible Shrinking Man. Jack Arnold made that in 1956, and he brought to it a kind of powerful storytelling focus to a kind of tawdry genre, the sci-fi genre, that made his films distinguished. So I'm always trying to find Jack Arnold films and trying to look at them in light of what did Jack Arnold bring to it. So I have to constantly go through silly westerns from the early 50s that I could care less about, because I'm interested in what Jack Arnold brought to it. He directed 64 episodes of Love Boat. I kid you not. he was a little, he was older, he needed some money, and he had to have a day job. So he directed 64 episodes of Love Boat. So what do? At late at night, I tape, you know, they're on TNN. I tape every episode of Love Boat that he'd ever directed, 64 of them, and I'm constantly trying to find those parts of Love Boat episodes that are Jack Arnold's legacy. Well, you may be saying, why did we come to this particular church? But but what I'm trying to say is, like you, I could care less about Love Boat, or maybe you do. But I'm deeply interested in Jack Arnold, because the man had a moral, humanist vision with a fairly workmanlike manner that is exceedingly interesting to someone like myself. So I go through these episodes of Love Boat, I could care less, but I'm very interested in what Jack Arnold contributed in an otherwise nonchalant and rather silly genre. Well, that's what it is to be an ambassador. I could care less about the container in which it comes, which happens to be a 70s television series, but I'm very interested in the artist who occasionally outed himself, even in that studio system. Well, are you with me? But let's take it a step further. Someone in your life treated you really nicely when you were sort of gasping for air. It was after your marriage had ended, or when your husband had died, or after a very difficult time with one of your children, or maybe when you were at a tea dance when you were 14, and someone really did honestly reach out to you and care for you when you were pretty hopeless. Now this person, it doesn't really matter who it was. It could have been a teacher, could have been a coach, could have been a band leader, could have been an aunt. Could have been a friend of your mom's, but this teacher was an ambassador for love when you were really not exactly feeling terrific about your life. It's like Mr. Holland's opus. You know, I owe Ed Reeves that particular tip. Vice Dean Emeritus Reeves said, you've got to see it, Paul. I never tell you these things. Here it is. See it. And what's about that movie? It's not about the love and compassion which Mr. Holland shows his students in the high school, although that's what it's about. But it's about his being an ambassador for grace to people who are very, very confused young teenagers. It's Mr. Chips, and that is what we're talking about. An ambassador is someone who is apart from the message, and the message in this world is the message of grace and love to the loveless. That's point one. That's what an ambassador is. Now, what an ambassador does, an ambassador makes an appeal. An ambassador is trying to connect what he or she has to offer with where you are, right? That's what a salesman does. I'm always looking for the perceived need. I can't tell you what I think you ought to want, but I can listen to what I believe you're saying you do want. And then I have to say my product applies to your perceived need. That's what the appeal is. Now, what is the appeal to you and to me? Now, I'm sure you're not the exception, maybe you are, but most people are looking for some kind of secure love. That is, in fact, what most people are looking for. If you really woke them up in the middle of the night, there are a lot of things they don't really care about. But deep down, what most people would like to have in marriage or with a child or with someone who simply loves them, they would like to have secure and enduring love. I see it. I notice it. People are hungry for it. I'm in a video store the other day, and the guy was very surly to me. Now, I had my collar on, so that explained it. He was wearing two earrings. I've got nothing against earrings. He was dressed all in black, and his hair was standing straight up about 15 inches. And I knew he was going to take a shine not to me, because I had my clerical gear on. And I kept wanting to say to him, if you know the living water that I could give to you, you would never come again to this video store and drink. But I was so mad that he was surly that I just walked off in a huff. Well, that's the bad part. But I can guarantee you that young man, I'm sure, he is looking for love and for some kind of secure foundation of caring beneficence, just as truly as I in that store or you are. And I blew the appeal because I was a little bit upset. They didn't have the Jack Arnold Love Boat episode that they had said they'd have. Now, what I'm trying to say about the appeal is what people are really looking for. The appeal is what you're looking for. You're hungry for something. And for this passage to really connect with you, you have to ask yourself, what am I hungry for? What do I really want? What is it that would really make me happy? What is it that I'm yearning to have in my life that would give me serenity and confidence? Well, that's the appeal, is to that. So what have I said so far? There's only got one more point. Point one is that an ambassador is someone who's working for somebody else. Number two, the appeal is the appeal to where I'm really in need today. And believe me, everybody's in need at all points. I was talking to somebody who was getting mad. You know, Paul, you're so down all the time. You're always talking about people's needs. And then this person whispered to me recently, you know, every single day I've got this one crisis going on in some area of my life. Well, that may not be you, but everybody's looking for some, they're hungry for something that will meet the need. And usually it's the need for forgiveness, or the need for serenity, or most commonly the need for secure love. Well, what is the product? I've talked about an ambassador. I've talked about the appeal, which is to you and to me, very strongly within. It's the little vulnerability to which this message is going to enter. You see, all of you have there's a hole in your heart that no one can see, but God can see it. And that's the hole, or the interstice, through which the message is going to enter today. What is the message? We beseech on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. Notice he doesn't say, be reconciled to your brother, or be reconciled to your great aunt, or to your, you know, teenager, or to somebody. He says, be reconciled to God. Well, this is where I want to finish. You see, in the Bible, the great hunger that people have is understood to be the hunger for God. Now, how do we know that's true? I'm sitting the other night with Mary at Surin West in Crestline Village. And she looks at me and she says, you know, it's so amazing how many people who are married don't really love their spouses anymore. And I said, this conversation just got heavy. And she says, yes, I'm sure. She said, I've been thinking about how many people who are married, they may have been in love with their spouse, but they really don't love their spouse. And so I shot back, what is love? And she said, love is when you put somebody else's interests over your own. And she said, you know, most marriages that she was thinking about are marriages based on negotiation, or their marriage is based on otherness. You know, I've got my department and he's got his department. Or what today is called things like boundaries, you know, the world of the psychotherapist. And she said, that's not what it's about at all. She said, you can't take a relationship and talk about it abstractly. Love is when you put somebody else's interests above your own. Well, that was the key to this sermon, because I realized that the only way that happens with anybody who's sitting here is when you're reconciled to God. What do I mean? This is when you no longer have to get out of somebody else the answer to your hunger. You no longer have to put on somebody else who's human your needs. I'm in Chappaqua, New York, 25 years ago, and a woman whom I really love has just come back from her therapist, and she wants to get divorced. And I said, well, what happened this week? And she said, well, my therapist told me, translate, I think, and he said it was okay to think, that Bill, my husband, he's just no longer meeting my needs. Well, I said to myself, sister, I didn't say it, of course. I said, sister, your needs are so voracious. I pity the man who you think could meet your needs. No one could meet your insatiable needs, whatever they happen to be. If you think that you, this fella, has been brought into the world with the idea of meeting your needs, well, then all you're going to come up against is a brick wall of unrequited love. Now, of course, I didn't say any of that. Needless to say, they're divorced long ago. But what is happening there is we cannot get our love from a person. If you've ever tried, and that's all you thought could do it, it only takes their death in a car accident or from cancer to prove the fatuous failure of the urge. And it only confirms what the Bible says. He says, do not find this in a person, but rather be reconciled to God. And I want to go back to what Mary said. Mary said, if an individual, unmarried or married, not a mother or a mother, happily employed or unemployed, understands that the fundamental need of humanity, love, has been met totally, then you don't have to go after every Tom, Dick, and Harry to have the need met. And you can actually love. And that's why Paul is so deeply concerned to say to us, I'm not interested right now in your brother. And I'm not interested in your estranged child. I'm interested in you. And the one place where love is ineluctable, pure, eternal, total, and never fading. And when you've got that right, then you can love another in the true sense that builds happiness. As we're seated, let us pray. Help us, O Father, divert our need for loving from people instead to you. And in that exchange, give us a fresh urge and strength to love another person the way you love us, which I guess is to say that their good is more important than our own. And this I pray for each of our sakes and for the sake of thy Son, our Lord. Amen.